Greetings on Thursday, the 16th of December. We've got a Thursday night football game. We're going to get right into that one first, since that's the highest bet sport that we have. Then you guys can change the channel. Actually, I believe there's quite a few followers of the hockey picks because that continues to smoke. So, that being said, let's talk about the Chiefs and the Chargers. This is an interesting game. If you were to look at the, let me just cut to the chase, and then I'll talk about it. I'm going to take the Chiefs minus 3. It's moving up to 3.5, and I do believe that's the right direction. I do believe they also priced it correctly for all the numbers that are out there, but it is a Kansas City cover in this case. And then while I do tend to trend toward the over, I do believe it's not safe enough to bet outright, but I'm going to take a same-game parlay. I'm going to, just in case Kansas City loses this game by a field goal, I'm going to take Kansas City plus 3.5, parlayed up with over 44.5 for a unit. I've got the Kansas City game on, minus 3 on a unit as well. Again, full units, but don't go crazy. That's just because it's the big sport doesn't mean it's. I'm not betting any more on this, and I'm going to bet on a basketball, college, pro, or hockey. It's just a standard bet. Nothing special. And furthering that point, there is nothing out there that tells me that I'm slam dunk on the winning side on this one. It's just a standard bet. Now, why do I feel this way? And why do I feel over? And why do I feel Kansas City? Let's look at some of the recent stuff here. You would think, you know, all the talk, the Kansas City defense is atrocious and this and that. They've given up 7, 14, 9, 9, and 9. That's it. The last three games, believe me. 9's not a very common score, and they've gave up 9 three games in a row to their opponent. That's almost something in itself. Interesting. There's no significance to it. It's just really interesting. Now, let's talk about those games. All right. First of those five, fifth game back, they beat Green Bay 13-7. Well, you think, wow. 13-7 over Green Bay. Well, that was Jordan Love. There was no Aaron Rodgers due to the COVID stuff. So that doesn't even count. And yeah, it's a good win, but again, no Aaron Rodgers doesn't count. And it was at home. That would have been a loss if they were with Rodgers. You would have to logically assume. Then they go to Vegas in disarray. Coach stuff had kind of blown over, but then they had the Ruggs issues. So they win it at Las Vegas 41-14. So, and, you know, giving up 14 points would probably been even less if it wasn't a blowout. Still, it's discounted. They did score 41 points on a professional football team, though. That's the only thing I can say of value there. Then they played Dallas at home and went 19-9. That's a significant win. Don't give up much. But again, hey, Dallas, one of the best offenses in the league. Are they right now? They're not right now. Were they? Yes. Can they be again for the playoffs? As they certainly will be in the playoffs with a three-game lead with four to go. Dallas, that is. They could be. As of the time they were playing, not at all. Denver. Denver's never had an offense this year. They beat Denver 22-9. And then they're back in Las Vegas, this time at home. Back playing Las Vegas, this time at home. 48-9. Yeah, I mean, so at this point, I don't consider, they didn't give up much, and these are professional football teams, but I don't consider that to be a defensive breakout necessarily. And scoring 41 and 48 in Las Vegas, I mean, if we throw that out, they scored 13, 19, and 22. Now, that would be, so what I'm saying is maybe to the over, right? I mean, to the under, but not so fast. Let's talk about Chargers. They go to Philadelphia and win 27-24. They play Minnesota at home. They lose 27-20. They beat Pittsburgh at home 41-37. They lose at Denver 28-13. They win at Cincinnati 41-22, and they beat the Giants 37-21. And that was the most recent game. And, of course, as we know with the Giants, Mike Glennon at quarterback, everybody injured. When you break it all down to what the trends are and the numbers are, it does tend to go over, but it wasn't strong enough for me to bet on its own. I just have the side. but it definitely was a trend of the over. It looked like 51 to 55 points to me, but now the line's 53.5. There's absolutely no advantage there. That's right in the middle, so no thanks. Now, the fact that the line's moving up, majority of the money is on that side, and that's typically not as public of a bet as the side is, the total. A lot of people don't even care about the total in these games. That's more going to be, it's more sharp money than public money driving it up. So we're not going against any trends when we take the, when we parlay it with that at a lower number. Now, as far as Kansas City on the road winning by three, you know, you can't discount the performances of these teams. There's only one common opponent. Kansas City beats Denver 22-9, and the Chargers lose to Denver 28-13. That was a home and away difference. Home for the Chiefs and away for the Chargers, but that doesn't count for that much difference. That's the only common opponent there, which obviously skews towards the Chiefs. But just in general performance here, Chargers losing to Minnesota, beating a Pittsburgh team, which I just, that doesn't say much at this point in time. You know, somehow Pittsburgh's still winning games, but that's not saying much. Winning 41-37 is what my point there is. Then you lose to Denver by 15. You beat Cincinnati on the road by 19. That's the best win out of that. That's the best performance out of all five games. And then beating the Giants, I'm going to throw that one out the window. And then Kansas City, they did beat Green Bay, but they would have lost with Rodgers playing. They crushed Vegas twice. They beat Dallas, and Dallas was showing the resurgence of defense, which has now come to full light. And then you beat a ball control Denver team. It's clearly Kansas City. They're rolling. There's no they're the Super Bowl team last year. You know, they're not falling apart. The sky didn't fall down as they started slow to the season. For the Kansas City Chiefs fans out there, they're doing what they were supposed to be doing. And by the end of the year, we're probably going to be scared of the Chiefs again. You know, we're not scared of the Bills right now, but we might be scared of them by the end of the year as well. You know, I think those two teams, obviously the Patriots getting all the glamour right now for good reason. They're playing unbelievable football. I do believe there's somehow some smoke and mirrors there. I think Bill Belichick, Dr. Hoodie's got some sort of smoke and mirrors action going on there. I don't know. There's something up with that. I don't think there's any cheating. There's no Spygate stuff going on. There's no deflated footballs. They're just playing really good football in New England. But enough said with that. So Kansas City minus three. And a same game parlay, Kansas City plus 3.5 and over 44.5 for the game. Feel good about them, but nothing special. All right. NBA, only like one game. There wasn't that many to choose from. Phoenix minus 9 at home over Washington. That was easy pick there, really. Again, it's nothing special. It's a one-unit play. I'm going to go over to college basketball. I'm going to take Oral Roberts minus 7. Oral Roberts minus 7 over Texas Arlington. That one almost went down to a half unit, but it is a full unit play. So I don't know if that means anything to anybody listening, but do like that one. Let's see if there's anything else to say about that game. Well, I've got it as a 12-point game. So it's 5-point cushion on the line. Doesn't mean it's going to win. Like I said, it almost was a half-unit play. So there's just why it was only a half-unit play with a 5-point cushion. Because a 5-point cushion in college basketball isn't necessarily, in handicapping terms for me, that is, the greatest. It's handicapping college basketball is not as tight as other sports. There's too many variables that can throw it off. And obviously, in general, right now, sports with COVID issues cropping up everywhere, it's a little risky. So this is a good time for me to say be careful with your bets, because at the worst opportunity, your star quarterback, your highest point scoring point guard or center or whatever, they could be sitting at home in quarantine of some kind. So be careful with that. Let's go over to hockey. Again, you know, there's been a few losing days, three maybe in the month. I don't know, probably more than that. But the units are up. I mentioned several shows ago that It was up 20 units in 6 days, and I lost most of all that in the next 6 days, although almost all that was, most of that was props, which I hadn't put out in the show. I put out a 3-0 day on the show. I don't know if yesterday went 0-3. I didn't actually write down what I gave out on props. I had 10 props, and I gave out 3, and I don't remember which ones I gave out, which ones I didn't. I just kind of randomly picked those out. It's not really a scientific thing where I'm picking out, you know, better or worse. Obviously, I would try to pick out better if you thought about it, because I'm not selling these picks to people. So, and I'm not looking for people to lose. I want people to do well. That's the whole purpose of this podcast, is try to share some input, some advice. It's more for fun than anything at this point. I just like start different business ventures and see how things go. And sometimes you do that, you're not looking to make money off of it. I play all these picks, and what people do with them is up to them. I certainly hope the best for people on that. Anyway, let's get into these picks here. So Detroit and Carolina, I'm taking Carolina in regulation, -110. I don't feel like paying the juice on that for the full money line. I don't like them to win by 2 necessarily, so win in regulation by 1 or more, or lose the bet. I'm not going to do anything with Ottawa-Tampa Bay. This is a quick revenge or immediate revenge spot. It was a couple games ago that Ottawa shut them out 4-0. And Tampa Bay should win this game. They're a better team at home. Revenge. It's not something they forgot about from a month ago. It's fresh in their minds. But I don't like it enough to play it. I'll keep an eye on it live. If Ottawa jumps out again on them, I have no fear whatsoever in jumping in with Tampa Bay, a much better line, or even a plus money puck line. But I have no care either if I don't play this game at all. There's plenty of games to play. So we'll move on to the next one, Philadelphia and Montreal. I'm going to take Philadelphia. Now, I'm going to stick with the full game money line. When I had this game immediately capped, it was -125. And I was ready to go with that. And by the time I got around to it, it was announced a goalie change. So worse goalie for Montreal, better scenario for Philadelphia. So the line's up to 160. I haven't checked it again since then, since all the picks have been placed in the podcast set up here. But so I'm taking the full game at -160. If I've been determining that earlier at -160, not knowing the goalie situation, I still like Philadelphia. Might have taken him on the money on the 60-minute line at that point, possibly, but my analysis was done on the full game money line. I'm going to keep it that way, even though the juice is higher. Montreal, in current form, is terrible. Terrible. Montreal's got more aura and mystique of being a good hockey team than most any team. This is one of the original hockey teams. This year is not. This is an embarrassment for them. Embarrassment. Philadelphia, after their coaching change, has done quite well. They're playing good hockey. I'm also going to take the under here because I don't know that Montreal is going to put up as much as they should. And I think there's also been I've noticed with the Philadelphia team, they seem to have a zigzag in how many goals they score. And it's not necessarily, you know, one on, one off, but it just seems like they go in streaks here. So I'm looking for this to be a down streak, which is one of the reasons for the little bit of the hesitation for the 60-minute line and the reason to take the full game money line, including overtime when I was originally capping the game. All right, so Philadelphia and under on this game. And then there's the same game parlay for it. Philadelphia +1.5 goals. Somehow they lose this game maybe. And it still goes under 6.5 for a same game parlay into 6.5 and 1.5. At +105, I like the plus money. And then the other one would be Philadelphia to win full game money line, which is no different than the original bet, but also parlaying that with under 7.5, just in case this is one of those blow-up days when Atkinson, Drew, and company are putting it between the pipes. So parlay that one up as well. And these are half unit each to get the same game parlay is a half unit each for the two of them to equal the one unit, and they're both at +105. But a pass on the Kings in Florida. Florida's a better team at home, but they seem to be in a downtrend. I'm not going to bet with them at this time. Vegas and New Jersey. I'm taking Vegas on the 60-minute regulation line at minus 115. I do like it quite a bit. They are on the road, but I don't care for the Jet Devils team much at all right now. In current form, they suck. Vegas is starting to light it up. There was some interest in the over for me, but not enough to play it. Nothing to do with that. Just Vegas, 60-minute line. You could take the puck line, but I just like them to maybe the Devils put something together at home and it has to go to overtime. So I mean, they can't win by two, excuse me. So I don't want the puck line. And then Buffalo, Minnesota. This one was relatively easy to handicap. Buffalo's not as bad as people think. They're not, certainly not as good as their original streak, but they're not as bad as their losing streak they're, you know, that they're on now. But Minnesota, though, by two on the puck line at minus 120. And I don't think they'll have any problem with that. Also taking over six at minus 120, and I don't think they'll have any problem with that. They may get there on their own, but I'm counting on a couple of goals from Buffalo. And then, it, you know, if there's four by Minnesota that we don't lose it, five wins it. So that's how I look at that. I'm going to do one same game parlay for a unit. This will be just one. I'm taking Minnesota to win and the game over 5.5. Obviously, the logic there is pretty simple. Now you don't have to win by two. You don't even have to win in regulation. You just have to win the game, whether it goes to overtime or not. And you can get over 5.5 so that six is no longer a push but a win. So that's one same game parlay for the full unit. And then looking at Colorado and Nashville, there's too many COVID issues in this game. You would tend to take Colorado, who's showing themselves to be possibly right now, this is very arguable, but possibly the best in current form right now in the league. Nashville at home, however, and getting plus money is hard to pass up. Nashville's having the COVID problems. If I took anybody, it'd be Colorado, but I'm just going to pass. Columbus and Edmonton. Now, Edmonton's lost six in a row, five of which are at home. Absolutely, the contrarian play would be to break that streak and go with Edmonton. Columbus sucks right now. I think they've won 2 out of 10, something like that. No thanks for Columbus. And I don't know if we can call this a coming out party for Edmonton to get back to what they were doing before, but that's what I'm basically betting on. But I'm not going to lay any juice with Edmonton ever until they get themselves right. So ever is not the right word. But for the current form, there's no logic that could be used to get me to put juice on Edmonton. So I'm going to take them on the puck line. I'm going to take Edmonton to win by two or more. So Edmonton -1.5 at plus 120. So again, I'm not saying Edmonton's bad when I say there's nobody that can get me to put juice on them. What I'm saying is because of the six-game losing streak, there's no logic in betting on Edmonton and paying juice to do it. What I'm betting on here is this is the coming out party again for their offensive juggernaut. They've got some serious talent on that team. I don't know where it's at right now, but if you're at home against Columbus, what better opportunity to show where it's at? And so if they're going to win, they're probably going to do it in style. And I don't even think that two is, I mean, and I'm not going to talk myself into this. The bet's been placed and it's done. But there's some logic to finding an alternate line and taking Edmonton -2.5 and getting bigger plus money. I would imagine that's probably plus 200 or something like that. Because Edmonton wins this, they're going to blow the doors off of them, I think. There would be logic in taking the Edmonton side over, just a team total, just Edmonton over. But I'm hedging this with the fact that if the streak continues, they haven't scored much. There's a lot of one-goal games with these guys in the last half dozen games. So I'm not going to put too much money on this game. I'm just going to do the one unit, Edmonton. Well, I'll get to that in a second here. I guess I should get ahead of myself here. I'm not even reading my next line in the spreadsheet. What I'm saying is I'm not going to bet too much on Edmonton itself to get this done by themselves. But on the next line, I've got a same-game parlay. Edmonton to win, in this case. Do it in overtime if you need to. Do it by only one if you need to. Parlayed, same game parlay with over 5.5. This is allowing, so elucidate a little better why I'm taking this pick. This is allowing the fact that Edmonton's goalie situation is part of their problem. So Columbus could get a couple goals. They could get three goals here, potentially. If they get three, I'm still thinking Edmonton can get six, just for the record. If Columbus scores three, I think Edmonton scores six. Just mark that one down. But so I'm taking Edmonton to win at any point in time in the game between both teams over 5.5. And I'm going to same game parlay that at plus 120. Again, no juice being offered. I'm not going to pay any juice on these team until they show it to me. I'm doing it for a full unit, though. So I've got two units on the game. And it's, again, you know, I glossed over Edmonton's goalie situation there. The number one goalie has played two games this season. Two games. So they've got their backup Koskinen, who has been getting lit up lately. He's part of their problem, unfortunately. And then they've got a guy, Stuart Skinner, who's the backup goalie, who's actually been out playing Koskinen lately. But he'll probably find his way back down to the minors at some point when Smith returns. So, again, there's only so much time in these podcasts to get in all the details. But trust me on this one, Edmonton looks good. This looks like a breakout spot. It is going against the grain, so it's fully a contrarian pick, and some people don't like that. Some people want to go with this current flow and the current trend, in which case, ignore the thing or take the other side, whatever you want to do. I like Edmonton to break out of the slump today. I like it to go over the number, but not by itself. I like it in a parlay with Edmonton over 5.5. And finally, Vancouver and San Jose. This I spent more time on than most picks. And there's reasons for that. Because I like San Jose quite a bit in current form. I like them a lot in current form. I like Timo Meier on that team as an undervalued player. Vancouver, on the other hand, since their management change, coaching change, on fire. On fire. 5-0, I believe, since the coaching change. It isn't San Jose. My initial inclination, you know, you do your first glance, and first, well, it's not necessarily a glance, it's a first go through with the initial numbers, etc., was on San Jose at a short number at home. But in this case, I can't go contrarian against Vancouver. And this might have been mentioned the day before. As far as streaks go, I enjoy and it's profitable going against losing streaks of good teams. Edmonton's a good team. They're on a losing streak. It's found to be profitable to go against losing streaks of good teams. This is just common sense, right? Well, Vancouver is on a 5-game winning streak. Are they a good team? So the opposite of going against the losing streak of a good team is staying with the winning streak of a good team or going against the winning streak of a bad team. Well, Vancouver, the good team or bad team? I call them a good team right now. I'm ignoring what happened before the coaching change, where they showed the signs of life even with that situation. And now they're showing a lot. I'm not saying they're going to be that. I'm not saying they're going to be a good team at the end of the year. I think they might be. But right now, I'm not going against that. Just not going to do it. So I'm going to lay off that game altogether. I did like the defensive side of this game going to the end of that analysis. I thought, well, I don't have to play on the side, but I like the under here because both these teams are retarding goals at quite a good clip right now. They're not letting much get past them, whether that be between the pipes or just the defensive play of the team, reducing shots, etc., blocking shots before it even gets to the goalie. I don't like it enough to play. So it's another game, a second game I would look at potentially live if Vancouver or San Jose jumps up to a 2-0 lead early or it's 1-1 early. I might just take a live under because I think they'll tighten it down, ratchet it down, and get less than would be expected for the rest of the game. So I spent a lot of time on the hockey here. I mentioned before as well, I don't know, tongue-in-cheek, I don't want this to become a hockey podcast, but hey, for the hockey listeners, let's keep it rolling. I just want to mention, hockey's been profitable long-term for me. It's more years, definitely a high percentage of years have been profitable. As a matter of fact, I don't recall one that was really a bad year, but it's not the goal of this channel to be about hockey. You know, to be blunt on this, the sports betting knowledge I have on football, pro and college, basketball, pro and college, and baseball far surpasses hockey. hockey had been of the major sports, the fourth on my list of things that I felt I had knowledge on. And that's probably not that different than most listeners, most people that aren't listening as well. I don't know, sometimes you could say that when you have too much knowledge on the betting of a certain sport, you can get in your own way. That's certainly a possibility sometimes. You can get in your own way because you know more. You have too much to look at, too many things that can pull you one direction or another, whereas if your knowledge is less. And I'm not saying my knowledge of the hockey betting is insignificant. I'm just saying I don't necessarily get in my own way. I look at the facts. I analyze it. It's not just fundamental and technical analysis. It's not trends. It's not contrarian or go with the flow. It's not public side or non-public side. It's not sharp money versus public money. Not being on Vegas side or against. It's everything. It just so happens that this current form of hockey is rolling right along. And I hope it doesn't stop. I'm trying to look back. What was November? Yeah, November was 16.6 units up. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. September and October, that was basically break even. I was actually down 1.79 units for the beginning of the season. So it's rolling along. But anyway, this broadcast has gotten on the timely side. So good luck, folks.